And so here we have John the Baptist calling on people to repent. Calling on people to repent of their sins. Calling on people and telling them that there is one coming who will forgive them and save them. And when he sees the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he sees people that he knows are important people, important in the church, self-important. They think that they are already saved because they are children of Abraham. And they are just coming to do this for show, for their own purposes. Not because they feel like there's anything wrong with them. Oh no, they're Pharisees and Sadducees. They're important people. They're children of Abraham. They don't really need this, but they'll go down there and take part just because other people are going. They want to see what's going on. And Paul tells them, bear fruit worthy of repentance. If we do not bear good fruit, what's the point of salvation? If salvation doesn't change us, how can it be salvation? If believing in Christ and His sacrifice for us does not give us the strength, the purpose, and the desire to reach out to those in need and help them, why did He bother? Fruit of salvation is change. The fruit of salvation is growth. The fruit of salvation is our forgiveness of others so that they may know of the forgiveness that we have received from our Lord. When we don't bear fruit, when we don't want to change, when we don't want to get out of our comfort zone and do the right thing, when we're not willing to put out a few dollars for a child who has nothing, when we're not willing to go out of our way to help someone who is in worse shape than we are, when we're not willing to take of our time to try and make something worthwhile, when we're not willing to share with our church, with our community, with our world, the joy, the blessings, the bounty that we have. How are we saved? What are we saved for? How would anybody know? They'll know we are Christians by our love, the song says. Do they know that you're a Christian by your love? Do people see in you something that they want to emulate, something that they want to share, something that they want to follow? Do they see in our congregation something that they want to be part of? Well, we've had some people up here today saying how much they appreciate the opportunity to be here, how much they appreciate the fact that we are here, how much they appreciate the church and God, and how He has changed their lives. Amen. But in our lives, there is always needs. There's always opportunities. And when we miss those opportunities, we miss the opportunity to serve that Lord who gave His Son, to serve that God who sacrificed His own child, to serve that God who came down to earth to suffer. How many of us would want to go somewhere in order to suffer? How many of us want to go to jail? I don't want to go to jail. I've been there, fortunately, as staff, not inmate, but it ain't a fun place to hang out. How many of us want to go to the homeless shelter? Not to feed the homeless, but to be one. We wouldn't choose to go and do those things. We wouldn't choose to put ourselves in harm's way. We wouldn't, and yet people do. Stan stepped out of his comfort zone to help a child. The people who are serving in our military have stepped out of their comfort zone, out of their comfort of the freedoms they have in this country to go serve their country in a foreign land. We know of all the people that we hear of in the news who go out of their way to serve and sometimes lose their lives in the process. We're not all asked to do that. We're not all expected to be prophets or to be heralds as John was. We're not all expected to be preachers or teachers or, but we're expected to be Christians. What does that mean? Will they know that we are Christian by our love? Can they see it in us? Is the fruit of our belief visible to the world? I think it is. I know many of you go out of your way to help other people. I know many of you struggle with finding ways to do things for people. I know that all of us try and make this a place of spiritual solace and comfort and peace. Amen. We come here and we feel that spirit that opens our hearts to the possibility of reaching out to other people. We have this place of safety and security, which means that we have this base upon which we can build a little bit of Christ's kingdom. What if all the world was as peaceful and joyous and comfortable and safe as this sanctuary on Sunday morning? It's not like that for people in Afghanistan. It's not like that for people in the Sahara. It's not like that for people who are struggling with famine, with mudslides, with earthquakes, with all of those things that we read about. We have the peace that passes all understanding available to us. And we touch that here, and we take that with us out into the world. Why is it that that cross out there on the sign has a flame rising from it? Why is it that we light candles in church? We have better lighting with electricity than the candles could ever provide. What's the point of lighting those candles? The flame is the Spirit. The flame is the symbol of that Spirit that lights us up, that makes us something that we cannot be without it, that makes us into Christians instead of just people. If we're just people, then what's the point? It's in Christ that we see the possibility of being something more than just people. And so the people came to John the Baptist asking for the opportunity to repent of their sins, be washed clean with the baptism that he offered, and to hear that there was one coming who would baptize them with fire and with the Spirit. The fire cleansing away what is no good. The fire that cleanses away what is evil. The fire that cleanses away what is selfish. The fire that cleanses away what is earthly. And leaves only that power that we see in the flame. Sure, those of you who've been present for a house fire know the power of that flame. Any of you who've seen a wildfire know the overwhelming power of fire to transform things. There used to be a house there, now just ashes. There used to be a forest there, now just burned out stumps. There used to be... But what comes after that? New buildings, new plants, new growth. Years ago in the Pacific Northwest, they were busy cutting down all the Douglas fir trees, and they couldn't understand why more trees didn't grow. And it was because the natural cycle was for the forest to burn, And when the forest burned, those cones that wrapped so tightly around the seeds that they couldn't be gotten to opened up and released the seeds. When they burned the ground after they cut the trees, the new trees began to sprout. In fire, in destruction, is the cleansing that brings new growth. In fire and in destruction is the opportunity for a new tree. In fire and in destruction is the opportunity for a new life. It's only when we can let go of those old things that we can have new things. It's not just the things we do. They're certainly important. But it's the heart that we do them with. Is there a fire in our spirit? Is there a healing, cleansing flame running through us? Is there something in our lives that burns away the old so that the new can blossom new and green and glorious? I believe there is. I'm encouraged every time I look out in my front yard and see those cedar trees that started out being about that big in a pot. I brought them with me when I came. I planted them in the front yard, and now one of them's taller than I am. In 20 years, everybody will have forgotten about me. I might be a picture on one of those graphics that Phil's successor will be handing out to everybody on those special Sundays. But that tree may be as big as the oak tree, black walnut tree that's there in the front yard. What little thing do we do today that will change the world? What little gift do we give that will change the life? What little word do we share that will change a heart? We don't know. We don't know what the consequences of our actions are. We don't know what the results of our kindness will be. We don't know what the damage that we can do with a sharp tongue or a cruel word. And so God calls on us to be His people, to share His words, to share His love, to share His peace, and most of all, to share His forgiveness. On this second Sunday of Advent, may we be reminded of John the Baptist crying out in the wilderness, "Come and be baptized, be forgiven, so that you can have a new life." And on this Christmas season, may each and every one of us begin a new life, forgiven and forgiving, loved and loving, at peace, an example of God's children.